Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22 on page 796 in your pew Bible. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please have a seat. Well, welcome back to our series on Romans, when in Rome, called Living the Gospel. And today we're going to talk about listening. Live listening. Really, listen to remember the voice of our Lord. Our senses are such incredible gifts to us, to our life. My birthday was last Wednesday, and we went to Prescott for the week. It was still pretty hot. We are in our camping trailer. But being in the woods really invigorates your senses. There's the smell of the pine trees. There's the birds singing and calling back and forth to one another. You know, and then the beauty of the sun coming up over the mountain through the trees makes the trees just bright green and beautiful. Our senses are such incredible gifts to our life. I'm unfortunately have to tell you this, but as we age, our senses decline. Have you noticed that a little bit? It's a normal part of aging, I'm told. That's why some of us get hearing aids, or we need eyeglasses, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. One thing that I did learn recently is that when we lose our senses more and more, it can contribute to dementia. And that was kind of one of the main things that reasoned me I got some hearing aids going. The doctor said, if you let those aspects of your hearing go, your brain on that area will turn off. And I'm like, that's bad. I don't want that to happen. Like, maybe I'd be able to hear some beautiful children's voices or something. So I got hearing aids to help with that. My dad had a severe hearing loss from being a railroad engineer. He didn't use ear protection, and he drove these massive engines for decades. And by the time he was my age, he couldn't hear anything. He took an early retirement and won a settlement with the railroad for not providing ear protection, as well as not providing the ability to communicate by radio in a way that did not compromise the hearing protection. But by the time he was my age, his ears were ruined. He was such a social guy. He loved people. He loved being around people. He loved visiting and talking and telling stories. But because he couldn't hear, I noticed over the years he got more and more withdrawn. He would love to watch sports because you don't need to hear the dialogue to watch a game. But when it was, and he always had the CC feature on his TV on, which was kind of annoying sometimes. It's like right over someone's face, can't see them, but the words were there, the captions. But he missed much in conversation, and I do think that did contribute to his later on in life, some dementia that came to him. You know, being able to hear is a great gift. I love the account of Elijah. Elijah is so discouraged. He's running from Jezebel. He's afraid because he thinks he's going to die. And he goes to this cave and hides. And that's where the Lord meets him. And he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Go out on the stand on the front of the cave." And some things happened that were pretty powerful. First, there was a great wind, it says. And then there was a splitting of mountains and breaking of rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind and not in the wind, in the earthquake, and he was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then after the fire, I love the way the NIV translates this instead of sheer silence. It says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. The whisper of the Lord. Now we turn to Romans, and we're urged to listen. Listen to remember the voice of the Lord, and listen to those who are proclaiming the word of the Lord. It's the second chapter in this section on Paul addressing the problem with the Jews. Basically, it's a big deal that the Jews rejected their Messiah, our Messiah. And Paul is trying to sort out what does this mean for his people, the Jewish people. He wants to turn his brothers and sisters in their heritage to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. At the beginning of chapter 10, if you'd like to open your Bibles to chapter 10, he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for you, for them, is that they may be saved." He wants his fellow Jews, his fellow people, to come to know the saving knowledge and the blessing of knowing Christ. He says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Everything Paul is sharing with them, they should know. This isn't new information that he's sharing about the way that righteousness comes. They're thinking that it comes through the law, and that's their error, but it comes through grace. They have to remember to listen to what Paul is saying and actually hear it, and listen to what Jesus is saying and actually hear it. He does not want to exclude them from the blessings and the miracle of faith in Jesus Christ. He says in this section, "To all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's hard for these Jews, though, to unlearn it because it doesn't sync with what they've heard up to this point in their lives, probably. Because the whole life of Jews was based on the doing part of faith. Offering sacrifices, participating in festivals, Sabbath keeping, the disciplines of prayer. And Jesus comes to say to them, it's not about what you do on the outside, it's what happens inside. Live listening. Live to remember. You know, it's easy to write someone off who is talking, isn't it? Especially if they're talking too much, or like you're walking down the street and someone is shouting at you in a megaphone. Have you ever had that experience? Like preaching, even they're trying to share some good news, supposedly, about Jesus, but it just doesn't come across well. And I find myself walking quicker when I see someone like that, not slowing down to see what they're actually saying. Well, most of us don't want to hear what they're saying. So we know that words can be spoken and not listened to. These barriers of rejection that the Jews have put up to not hearing what Paul is saying, not hearing the words of Jesus, and because they've said this is our heritage, it's not a great look for them. Paul did that until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. But Paul is not like the megaphone man preaching here. He is gently inviting them to open their ears, open their hearts to the gospel, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he goes on to say these things. But how will they call on the one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe of the one they've never heard of? And how can they hear without someone proclaiming it to them? And how can they proclaim in this they are sent? It's the written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard through the word of Christ. Paul's saying to them, don't be offended. Don't put up barriers to this great message. Hear it. Listen to it. Absorb it into your life. There's a news story I heard just a couple weeks ago about a young man named Noah Haiju, who's a 23-year-old from Sterling, Massachusetts. And this summer, he's been taking up a 130-pound wooden cross and carrying it a mile a day. He's in shape, all right? But he has a motivation. It's a pretty heavy crossbone. It's 12 feet tall and 6 feet wide. It's 130 pounds, and he loves fitness, but he's doing it to honor Jesus Christ. He started this in June of 2026, and some interesting things have happened for him in doing that. First, he carries the cross a mile a day, and he's done it for 50 consecutive days. Pretty soon, he's going back to school and college. He carried the cross in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York City. He and his father built the cross themselves from Douglas fir, and he played basketball at Lafayette College before a knee injury ended his playing career. And that is when he said, I really was broken. And he came to believe in Jesus Christ and love him and serve him with his whole life. He said that the primary purpose wasn't the physical challenge of carrying the cross or receiving praise from anyone for doing it, but to honor Jesus and carrying the cross of his Savior. He is not preaching. He's not handing out tracts, although he will talk to people. But what was surprising to me in watching this news story is the negative reaction that he would get from people. It's not like he's doing anything that would harm them, but a lot of people would commend him, but some were just so offended that he would do this. It reminds me of the end of chapter 9 of Romans, where it says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I think the offense comes from what's speaking to their inner life, the shame and sin and brokenness that they know they have, but they don't want to admit it, makes people have a vehement reaction to this young man carrying a cross. Because he isn't doing anything. He's not saying anything. He's not judging anyone. But they feel judged. I think that's how Isaiah got it right when he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Live listening. Listen to remember the voice of our Lord. So where does this thought land for you today? For me, I think it means soften my heart, receive the message, believe the message, share the message, listen to remember, recount the miracles that God has done in my life. Also, remember the people who have impacted my life, my friends, the teachers, preachers, members of my own family. Even those younger than you, like your little grandkids, can really impact your life. Today, as I said, is our unofficial holiday to break up the summer called Aloha Sunday. And when you go to Hawaii, there's such a thing as the Aloha Spirit. Aloha is the common greeting in Hawaii, meaning a number of things. It's deeper than just saying hello and goodbye, although it does mean hello and goodbye. But it also, at its heart, expresses love, affection, peace, compassion, kindness, and a spirit of fellowship. It can be used as a greeting when you say hello to someone or when you say farewell. But it also can be something a little bit more. Besides, it means compassion, goodness, goodwill, kindness. But there's also an idea called living with aloha. There's some spiritual interpretations about aloha, meaning the joyful sharing of life, energy, and love. And the word, when you break it down, alo in Hawaiian means face, to presence or front, and ha is breath. So there was an ancient greeting that the ancient Hawaiians would do where they would put their forehead right on each other's forehead and they would breathe, breathing each other's breath, basically. And that was aloha. That was my face and breath together. It can also describe kind of a way of living, extending kindness and love toward others while recognizing our need for connection and with one another and the world around us. It's really similar to the Hebrew word shalom, which also means hello, goodbye, and peace and compassion and those good things. Today, in the gospel, Peter is courageous to walk out on the water to see Jesus. He's fearful. It says when they saw him coming and the wind was so strong, they were afraid. He said, "Don't be afraid, it's I." But then Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, command me to come out on the water." And he does, and he walks for a ways. He loses sight of Jesus and he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches in the water and pulls him up and saves him. And immediately when they got into the boat, the storm stopped. There's actually quite a few little accounts of Jesus and the disciples in a boat in a storm. Another one is when Jesus is sleeping in the boat in the storm, and the disciples are straining at the wind and the oars, and they wake him up, and he stands up and says, "Shalom," peace, and everything stills. Everything is quiet. And they worship him then and at this passage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Live listening. Listen to remember. You may today think, "I don't know if I can remember God working on my behalf." In fact, you may think, "When was the last time God worked on my behalf?" Well, that too is a prayer. And I would encourage you to share that with a friend or share that with someone and say, "You know, I really need you to pray for me because I'm not sensing that God is working on my behalf." And that then is something, a prayer that I know God will answer for you. Because when faith is received, when joy enters your heart and mind, that's the best thing you can ever experience. It's the best news ever. It's Peter saying, "Lord, save me." It's Paul writing, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." So friends, live listening. Listen to remember. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the words that are said. We thank you for the sounds that we hear. Lord, the speaking of a dear friend to us, the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to our lives and our hearts. Lord, we thank you that listening isn't just something our ears do, but it's something that can penetrate us and draw us deeper into love and into faith, and does do that. So Lord, help us to listen with our memories, listen with our whole lives, and live listening with the posture of we can learn something, that the Lord will still be teaching us something, and that we can pray through listening and speak to you as well. So help us as we continue to walk by faith, not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.